Good morning, everybody. How's everybody this morning? It's a beautiful day out there. I'm really looking forward to the winter. I've been doing a few strange things today, and I've just done one of them again. So that'll be the third one this morning. So hopefully I'm not going to be doing any more strange things again. Let's just find out, shall we? If something strange happens, you'll know I'm still doing it. This morning, you're on 95.1 GMM, actually, and you're listening to Jude's Gems. And no more strange things happening. I would like to talk about an artist today, Frida Kahlo's, who I want to talk about. Her full name is Magdalena Carmen Frida Kahlo y Calderon. She was a Mexican painter known for her many portraits, self-portraits, and works inspired by nature and the artifacts of Mexico. Frida had quite a turbulent life. At six, she contracted polio. Even though she had a loving family, she spent 9 months alone in bed while every other child played outside. When she returned, because of her withered leg from polio, children screamed, "Frida Pigley again, Frida the Gimp." So she was forced to invent a friend that would love her. She created a world where someone joyful, weightless, and dancing was always waiting. A friend who would never tease her or treat her badly. At 18, a bus accident shattered her spine, impaled her pelvis with a steel handrail, and broke her leg in 11 places. A fellow passenger had been carrying gold powder. It exploded in the crash and covered her broken, bleeding body from head to toe. She looked like she'd been dipped in gold and left for dead. She wasn't dead, though, but she endured 35 surgeries from that bus accident. That's a lot. I mean, she was only 18 at the time. She married Diego Rivera, one of the most famous painters alive. Brilliant, celebrated, and pathologically unfaithful, including with her own sister. Now, I saw a photo of Diego Rivera, and I don't understand why a woman would want to be with him. He wasn't handsome, and he didn't have a good figure. Maybe fame is just more powerful than I think it is. Anyway, Frida refused to accept it quietly. She had her own affairs with men and women. In 1939, Diego asked for a divorce. He left her. She moved back to her childhood home, drinking nearly a bottle of tequila a day to cope with the pain and mental trauma. And even through that haze, she picked up a brush. What she created was nearly 6 feet wide, two versions of herself side by side holding hands, one in a white wedding dress, heart cut open, blood dripping onto the white dress, a surgical clamp on the vein that isn't working. The other in a traditional Tijuana dress, Diego's idolized Frida, heart whole, holding a tiny portrait of Diego as a child. She replaced her husband with herself, the two hearts connected by one vein, one whole, one severed. You cannot cut heartbreak out of your body, but you can sit beside the part of yourself that is whole and hold her hand. She titled the diary entry "The Two Fridas." The divorce papers arrived while the paint was still wet. The government bought it years later for roughly $1,000. Today, her art is declared National Cultural Heritage, making the painting officially priceless and legally unsellable. It lives at the Museo de Arte Moderno in Mexico City. The bus accident damage never fully healed. In 1953, that same leg, the one polio took, was amputated. She became dependent on painkillers. The night she died, she had taken 11 pills. Her maximum was 7. No autopsy, so nobody knows for certain. But she was 47. Her last diary entry was, "I hope the exit is joyful, and I hope never to return." Her last painting, Viva la Vida, Long Live Life. I did mention Frida Kahlo a few weeks ago, where her 1940 painting was sold for a record price of $54.7 million, a record for any woman artist. Today, the music I have, we've got some Neil Diamond and the Eagles. I just feel like some bouncy music. So here's some Sweet Caroline.
Where it began, I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hand touching hand, reaching out, touching me, touching you. The night, and it don't seem so lonely. We fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? Touching warm, reaching out, touching me, touching you. The night, and it don't seem so lonely. We fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? Touching warm, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Thank you.
and the tune can be sung and the words all rhyme. Diddle-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-doo. And it don't say much and it won't offend if you sing it in school, they're liable to send you home. Never knowing what you're growing.
It's a girl! me.
I have a couple of community notices here. Live It Up in the Whit Sundays at the Early Beach Festival of Music. It's on from the 6th to the 8th of November. Now in its 14th year, the festival features 60-plus acts across 15 venues and a main stage on the water's edge at the Whit Sundays Sailing Club. Watch big-name acts and discover new talents. All this within easy walking distance. The atmosphere is electric. This is the ultimate music holiday, a tropical escape and party in paradise. Check out the Early Beach Festival of Music website for the great lineup of talent and ticket sales. Now, the volunteer week at the Bowen Community Markets is coming up. So join us at the Community Markets on Sunday the 24th of May and be part of the Volunteer Week celebrations. Volunteer organisations will be present at the market to highlight the extraordinary work undertaken by local groups. If you have ever considered volunteering, this is the perfect place to explore your options. Speak with representatives, ask questions, and find out how you can make a difference. The expo will feature non-profit pop-up booths and interactive experiences, all designed to inspire action and foster a stronger, more connected community. So come along on Sunday the 24th of May, and who knows, you may find just the cause that you've truly resonates with you. So we'll see you there. Now, I have talked about Frida Kahlo's quite eventful life. Now I want to talk about her paintings and how they were perceived. Did you know she is one of the most recognisable artists in the world, and still often remembered more for her image than for the work she created? Frida Kahlo is often reduced to a set of symbols. The flowers in her hair, the unibrow, the traditional Tijuana dress, the self-portraits. An image that is instantly recognisable, but often detached from what she is actually saying. Her work was not decorative or instinctive. It engaged directly with questions of identity, disability, gender, and post-revolutionary Mexican culture. Often drawing on indigenous symbolism and personal experience to construct meaning, not just to express it. During her lifetime, her work was frequently discussed in relation to Diego Rivera, whose reputation as a muralist often overshadowed hers, especially in international contexts where she was introduced through him. Critics often described her work as naive or primitive, suggesting it was driven more by instinct than by intellect. These labels ignored the deliberate composition, symbolism, and control present in her paintings. Frida Kahlo was not painting instinctively. She was not simply documenting her pain. Her paintings are constructed, controlled, and layered with references to indigenous Mexican culture, colonial history, religion, and politics. They sit in the tension between personal experience and national identity, between the body and the state, and between suffering and authorship. She painted herself repeatedly, not out of narcissism, but because, as she said, she was the subject she knew best. And through that subject, she built something far more complex than autobiography. She built a language. She created a body of work that combined autobiography with political and cultural commentary, using her own image as a framework to explore pain, identity, and belonging. Her self-portraits were not acts of vanity, but constructive narratives. After her death in 1954, her recognition grew steadily, particularly from the late 20th century onwards, as feminist and post-colonial perspectives brought new attention to her work. Her image became widely reproduced across fashion, design, and popular culture, often simplified into an aesthetic, while the complexity of her work remained less visible. She is one of the most visible women in art and still now not always seen clearly. As I said before, her painting sold for $5 million last year, and that's the highest amount anybody has paid for a woman's painting. Back to the music, we have a bit more. Neil Diamond, some September Morn.
Stay for just a while. Stay, let me look at you. It's been so long, I hardly knew you. Standing in the door. Stay with me a while. Only want to sing for you. We've traveled halfway around the world to find ourselves again. September morn, we danced until the night became a brand new day. Two lovers playing scenes from some romantic play. September morning still can make me feel that way. Look at what you've done. You become a grown-up girl. I still can hear you crying in the corner of your room. Look how far we've come. So far from where we used to be. Not so far that we've forgotten how it was before. September morn, we danced until the night became a brand new day. Two lovers playing scenes from some romantic play. September morning still can make me feel this way.
have a train on a track, it's got rhythm to spare. It's a beautiful noise, and it's a sound that I love, and it fits me as well as a hand in a glove. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Up from the park, it's the song of the kids, and it plays until dark. It's the song of the cars on their furious flights, but there's even romance in the way that they dance to the beat of the light. It's a beautiful noise that I love, and it makes me feel good, like a hand in a glove. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. What a beautiful noise, made of joy and of strife, like a symphony played by the passing parade. It's the music of life. It's a beautiful noise, it's a sound that I love, and it makes me feel good. Coming into my room, and it's begging for me just to give it all to.
I have another community notice here. Come and play Winter Bingo at Wangaratta Bowls Club. It's on Friday mornings at 9:30 a.m., commencing Friday the 1st of May through to the end of September. It includes bingo payouts, jackpots, raffles and lucky tickets, and free morning tea. And where is it? It's the Wangaratta Bowls Club, 12 to 14 Maruna Street, Queens Beach, Bowen. Phone 4785 1197. Now, I want to talk about Arturo Estrada. He was also a Mexican artist, but he was Frida Kahlo's student. So imagine being 12 years old and having a teacher who is not only a talented painter, but one of the most important figures in art. That happened to Arturo Estrada, one of the four students that Frida Kahlo had during her lifetime. In the 1940s, Arturo Estrada studied at La Esmeralda, where he met Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera. During her classes, Frida didn't teach only technique. She took her students to markets and neighborhoods so they could paint real life. She asked them to look at their own people before looking at European models. Estrada absorbed that vision and carried it throughout his career. He became part of Los Fridos, a group that understood art as a commitment to Mexico. When Frida died in 1954, Arturo Estrada made a drawing of her on her funeral bed. Years later, Diego Rivera asked him that when his time came, would he also portray him? And that is exactly what happened. To speak about Arturo Estrada is to remember that the history of art is not built only by monumental figures, but also by those who learn from them and transform their legacy into a voice of their own. So I have a bit more music from Neil Diamond. Brother Love's Traveling Song.
Hot August night, and the leaves hanging down, and the grass on the ground smelling sweet. To the outside of town and the sound of that good gospel beat. Sits a ragged tent where there ain't no trees, and that gospel group still, and when you'd almost bet you could hear yourself sweat, he walks in. Eyes black as coal, and when he lifts his face, every ear in the place is on him. Starting soft and slow, like a small earthquake. What it's there for. Hallelujah. And when your heart is troubled, you gotta reach out your other hand. Hallelujah. Reach it out to the man up there, 'cause that's what he's there for.
Take my hand in yours, walk with me this day. In my heart I know I will never stray.
Hallelujah. It's another tequila sunrise, staring slowly across the sky. Said goodbye. He was just a hired hand, working on the dreams he planned to try. The days go by. Every night when the sun goes down, just another lonely boy in town. And she's out running round. She wasn't just another one, and I couldn't keep from coming on. Been so shot.
I have a different story to tell you now. It's not about an artist, but a writer. J.M. Barrie, who wrote Peter Pan and the contribution he makes every day to the welfare of children. In April 1929, J.M. Barrie, the creator of Peter Pan, walked into the Great Ormond Street Hospital and handed over something so lucrative it would have made a modern venture capitalist blush. He didn't just give them a donation. He gave them the forever rights to every single iteration of Peter Pan, every book sold, every play performed, and every movie ever made since has been quietly funneling a percentage of its revenue into the hospital's ledgers to save the lives of children who, unlike Peter Pan, desperately wanted the chance to grow up. You have to realise how massive this royalty tap actually is. For nearly a century, Peter Pan has been a primary engine of funding for one of the world's most advanced paediatric centres. While the exact figures are kept secret, at a very specific request, insiders estimate that the income has run into tens of millions of pounds. It's a terminal signal of generosity that survived even the death of the author in 1937. Usually copyrights expire after 70 years, but the British government realised this story was so crucial to the hospital survival that they passed a special law in 1988, Section 301 of the Copyright Designs and Patents Act, granting Great Ormond Street a permanent right to royalties from Peter Pan in the UK forever. But here's where the story gets a bit gritty. In the mid-2000s, and again around 2014, when the entertainment landscape was shifting, Disney attempted to challenge the boundaries of these rights. The corporate giant, which had already made hundreds of millions from its 1953 animated classic, tried to argue that the hospital's claim on the character was reaching its legal limit, especially in international markets. It was a cold-blooded attempt to reclaim the surplus value of a story that was literally paying for chemotherapy and heart transplants in children. The backlash was instant and devastating for the mouse. The public realised that Disney was essentially suing a children's hospital for the right to stop paying for surgeries. The legal battle backfired so spectacularly that Disney was forced to retreat, eventually settling and continuing to acknowledge the hospital's unique status. It proved that in the court of public opinion, a story about the innocence of childhood is as much stronger currency than a corporate balance sheet. In 2015, the hospital even won a landmark case in the US to ensure their rights were respected across the Atlantic. Notice the beautiful irony in this ledger. J.M. Barrie had no children of his own, yet through Peter Pan, he became the benefactor for hundreds of thousands of them over the last 97 years. Every time you watch a new adaptation or see a Tinkerbell toy, you are witnessing a financial engine that converts fantasy into life-saving medical technology. Into life-saving medical technology. The signal from 1929 is still loud and clear. Today, some stories are too important to belong to a corporation because their real value isn't valued in profits, but in the number of children who finally get to see their next birthday. The hospital remains one of the world's leading centres, and while Peter Pan stays in Neverland, the money he generates and stays right here solving the very real problems of the modern world. It's a reminder that a well-told story doesn't just entertain, it can literally become a lifeline. As long as children are born, Peter Pan will be there to pay the bill. Bit more music now, I think. The Eagles and Desperado.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one, but I know that you got your reasons.
these things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow. Don't you draw the queen of diamonds, boy. She'll beat you if she's able. You know the queen of hearts is always your best bet. Now it seems to me some fine things have been laid upon your table, but you only want the ones that you can't get. Desperado, oh, you ain't getting no young. Your pain and your hunger, they're driving you home. And freedom, oh, freedom, well, that's just some people talking. Your prison is walking through this world all alone. Don't your feet get cold in the wintertime? The sky won't snow and the sun won't shine. It's hard to tell the nighttime from the day. Funny how
Now, there's some Frida's paintings and a couple of Arturo's Estrada's paintings up on our Facebook page. So hop over and have a look. You'll see what I mean when I'm talking about her. I really like Frida Kahlo's paintings, the vivid colours she uses, how they tell a story and how she portrays and teaches her own culture. And what a magnificent legacy J.M. Barrie left, a true altruist. It's time for me to go now. My gem for today is by Eileen Miller. Art can permeate the very deepest part of us where no words exist. Thank you for listening and have a great day, and I'll see you all next week. Some more Eagles.
I like the way your sparkling earrings lay against your skin so brown. And I want to sleep with you in the desert tonight with a billion stars all around. 'Cause I got a this feeling I